Welcome to another episode of Talk Gopher Buckets. I'm Luke Buer.
This is Ryan James of Gopher Illustrated.
All right, Ryan. So I think it's safe to say that, you know, Gopher basketball has been in a major flux. Things have been changing drastically, you know, ever since the end of the NCAA tournament. New coach, roster turnover has been pretty consistent ever since Pitino took over. So not surprising, really, I guess for me, it's not surprising to see Joel Coleman transfer.
I'm a little stuck in terms of my surprise. I think, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I haven't seen Pitino's team play yet, so I guess that's a tough assessment. But I would think an upperclassman that's got two Big Ten years, even though he's not the greatest outside shooter, you could probably use him in some capacity. But on the other hand, if you don't want him on the floor because he can't shoot and you're bringing him off the bench, probably is a better idea for him to go. So I guess, you know, I'm torn with it because Joel's a Minnesota guy. He's served Minnesota for a couple of years. He's had some inconsistencies, but I would have liked to have seen it work out. But it didn't work out, and they got new guys in here. They got to move on. But, you know, if Minnesota can make the Big Ten play their up-and-down style, you know, and you're getting buckets by trail threes, you're getting buckets by, you know, quick transitions, kick out to the corner. You know, Joel's the type of guy who I would assume could get up and down, you know, and get easy buckets and at the rim in transition and get off. And one of the best things he did was offensive rebounds. So,
yeah,
you know, if you're going to have a four-man who you think can hit some threes, I think Joel would have helped. But on the other hand, if you need a guy on both corners as your wings, or on both wings hitting threes, he's probably not going to be that guy.
Yeah, I guess the reason I say that it didn't surprise me entirely that he left was, you know, there was rumblings that he might have transferred after last year. And considering, a new head coaching staff comes in, you know, he definitely improved from his freshman to his sophomore season. He started 32 games this last year. But you're right, the shooting was inconsistent. You know, his greatest asset was maybe his offensive rebounding, like you said. I think defensively he did okay at times. He played a little bit undersized, you know, at the three maybe, being only 6'4". But I don't know. I guess I just wasn't overly surprised just the style of play that Pitino has. Or, I mean, like you, I think I've only seen FIU play once. And I don't see him fitting terribly well, other than in the Big Ten, you got a rebound. And right now, if you look at this roster, I don't know where rebounds other than Elliott and maybe Mo, where they're going to come from, because, you know, guys like Austin and Andre weren't like phenomenal rebounders by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they're getting like 3 to 3.5 a game. But when you lose Rodney Williams and Trevor Mbakwe, you know, your two leading rebounders, I'm just curious where boards are going to come from.
You know, I'm gonna jump off of that a little bit more. Not only I'm not sure where the rebounds are gonna come from, where are you gonna get, who's gonna defend the 6'5", 6'6", 205 pounds,
exactly,
small forwards in the half court set? If Pitino's style works, then you don't have to worry about it as much, because then you got the other team has to worry about having more guys on the floor who can get the ball before. But it's the Big Ten. You know, even the best teams that want to play up and down still play most of the game in the half-court set.
Yeah.
So when you're in a half-court set, who's guarding the 6'6", who's guarding the 6'6", 205-pound guys in the half-court set?
Right.
That's my biggest question. You know, because you're going to have your players in the three-guard lineup of what we're going to see. Austin Hollins is supposed to be playing a three. Austin Hollins now has to guard, you know, Austin Hollins now has to guard guys 2 or 3 inches bigger, and he's going to have to guard guys a lot heavier.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Cause, and the other thing, like, think about this. Austin Hollins, how many times do we see Austin Hollins guard the opposing team's two guard? Just about every game, most of the time.
Yeah. He's
most of the time guarding a lot of athletic twos. Well, he's going to have to guard the three because he's the tallest guy. So guys like Andre Hollins is going to have to guard two guards a lot with Dre Matthew in the game. We saw Andre guarded two guards in the half-court set last year. It wasn't that good.
No.
Now, on the other hand, Joel Coleman. Now, Joel's going to come back to Joel real quick. Joel obviously at times wasn't happy his freshman year, and there was a lot of Minnesota fans that sympathized with him because Tubby was so inconsistent with his playing time, and Joe did produce fair for most of the year until the end. That's the other part of it, though. Joe faded down the stretch, both his freshman and sophomore years, and this past year his defense got pretty poor, you know, at the end of the sophomore year. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of checks and balances here.
Yeah, I think the thing with Joe is you got a little bit more versatility. You know, there are people that are always saying, you know, he's, you know, if he and Dan could switch bodies, you know, it'd be an ideal world because Joe wanted to play more of an inside game. And I get that, but you do get some position flexibility with Joe, at least on the defensive end. And I know he struggled at times, and he particularly struggled in the Big Ten. You know, one, they get more time to prepare for you. Usually you play them twice, so they know your strengths and they know your weaknesses, and they exploit that. I guess for me, it's hard to see Joe go because of just, you know, being a Mr. Basketball and being a Minnesota guy, now being Minnesota-less on the basketball team. In that respect, it's difficult. And just some of the little intangibles, we talked a lot about how he was a smart ball player for the most part, and that'll be things that we miss.
Yeah, it will be things we miss. But on the other hand, if Dre Matthew and Daquan McNeil and Malik Smith can make this team be up and down, you know, up and down style team that Tino wants to play, you know, then fantastic. I mean, Matthew with a one, Smith's a nice deal because he doesn't really cost you much. I mean, his scholarship's opening up for 2014. He's an experienced player in the system, and he's a guy should be able to knock down shots.
Mm-hmm.
Should be able to. Now, I want to counter that again because we like to do that around here on Talk Over Bucket. This guy, you know, he's 6'2". His own coach has told people in the media that defensively he's not the best, except he'll see some passing lanes. He likes to jump. So he hit 36% in the Sun Belt. No, this is not Sun Belt. This is the Big Ten. And a lot of that stuff's probably more on the move because you can make people play in mid-major basketball that way. You can make people get up and down. But it's the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
How is he in the half court set? You know, I like him as a player to come in here because he's got experience or anything. I think it's a great pickup. But I'm a little skeptical that he's going to be able to hit shots at the same clip in the Big Ten.
Yeah, definitely. I think the one thing that maybe is encouraging when you try to read up on him, you know, I just saw him play the once this year. You know, he's been consistent in his stats, right? He averages, you know, in the 14 points a game at FIU, and he did the same at, you know, Jacksonville or whatever school that was he was at before. So most of the stats that I read, you know, he was pretty consistent. So that's encouraging. I'm not expecting him to score 15 points a game in the Big Ten. If he did, that would be a huge plus. But, you know, at this point, that's one thing that's maybe encouraging. And they need guys that can shoot from the outside. You know, last year there were times you really could only rely on maybe Austin when he was not in his one, you know, stretch of a funk, and Andre Hollins. Other than that, you know, Maverick was probably your next best 3-point shooter. And I don't know. I don't think Maverick shot more than like maybe 20 threes. No. Okay. He shot almost 50 threes, 49.
Yeah. I would say it was like in the high 40s, like 48, 49, 49, 47. If this guard rotation is something that's going to be interesting, is he planning on playing guys? And I don't have a stats from last year's guys to see. Is he planning on playing, like, you know, is Andre going to be on the floor 30-plus? Is Austin playing on the floor 30-plus? I would assume his upperclassmen, Andre and Austin, are going to play 30-plus minutes. And Malik Smith is a senior. I'm assuming he's going to play high 20. So that leaves, you know, it's expected they're going to throw in Dre Matthew as a starting point guard. So I'm not seeing many minutes for old Maverick right now because Dre Matthews is supposed to be your starting point guard. I'm expecting he plays mid-20s minutes. I'm expecting Malik Smith in his senior year is going to play mid-20s minutes. I would assume your best two players, Andre and Austin Hollins, are going to be on the floor almost 30 minutes a game. That's three spots. A ton of minutes for those four guys. I'm not seeing many minutes for Maverick right now. And then you have Daquan McNeil as well. You know, so, and then let's not forget Wally Ellison.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Wally is the guy that probably is going to benefit the most from Joe leaving, right? Because he maybe has a little bit of the position flexibility.
Yeah, I think he's gonna play probably a lot of that backing up Austin Hollins at the three spot.
Yep.
You know, for his sophomore year, and so that's good for him. But again, like, how are these minutes gonna come together? Is Dre Matthews gonna play 20 minutes a game? You know, is Malik Smith just gonna play 20 a game? Because they're gonna be up and down so much that they need stuff. It's just gonna be very interesting, and it's all. You know, we're just kind of discussing right now because we haven't seen a Patino team in the Big Ten. You know,
right.
The answers will probably be there in December, but right now you're just kind of guessing.
Yeah.
So that's what we're kind of doing right now. And we mentioned seven guys for three spots unless, you know, they go really small at times and throw Wally in at the four.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, before we move on to the EYBL, could you imagine if, you know, he plays 10 guys and then the first game, there's basically a line change. There would be a collective just like moan in the barn if there was a line change.
But you know what? Like, is this that crazy? Because people are really talking about this, but what did Tommy Smith say he was going to do at the University of Minnesota? Say he was going to try to create defense with his offense,
yep.
And he said he was going to try to play up and down. What did Rick Pitino say? He said we're going to press full court, we're going to attack the ball full court, we're going to play a fun style, we're going to get up and down. Well,
mm-hmm.
You know, Pitino said it in a different way than Tubby, and he's probably going to go about it, obviously, in a different way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that never happened with Tubby. Here's the difference. They're not going to be similar. They're not going to be the same styles, but they're going to be similar in terms of you took Pitino's style and compared it to all the 12 coaches in the Big Ten last year. It's going to be closer to Tubby's style compared to everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Except for maybe Indiana, when Indiana's trying to get up and down all the time.
Yeah.
So it's similar in that regard. Now the difference would be what can he get his players? That's the big difference. And
yeah.
what will his guys buy in terms of what they in terms of what he's selling? What will his guys buy in? Because it was obvious at times that the Gopher players last year and years past weren't always buying into what Tubby was selling.
Right. And like, we have to give Tubby a little bit of credit, right? He didn't exactly get all the players he recruited. If he wouldn't have the transfer situations and all that, you know, things might have worked out a little bit better. But at the same time, you have to kind of push back and say, you know, that was part of him not getting to keep the Royce Whites of the world and, you know, the Justin Cobbs and Colton Iversons for all 4 years. You know, if Pitino is able to execute in terms of recruiting classes on a similar clip, but keeping those guys, you know, getting 4 years out of them, maybe you can reap the benefits in the long run.
Yeah, and people are really talking about this, the transition year, which it is. Anytime you have a new coach, it's transition.
Totally.
Plain and simple. But I don't think you can overlook expectations early, because think of all the upperclassmen that this team's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
You have three right now. You have three seniors. You have three seniors in Maverick,
yep.
Austin, and Malik Smith.
Yep.
And you add in juniors. You go to the junior count. The junior count's ridiculous. You have Mo. You have Otto.
Yep.
You have Elliot.
Andre.
Who am I missing?
You're missing Andre.
Andre Hollins. Then you have Dre Matthews, so you're up to five. Let's say they get one or two of these guys coming in on Sunday. You know, Nikosi Ali and or Derek Randall.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt they're going to bring in five new guys for next year, but, you know, or Buckles. Whatever the case, you're talking about at minimum, you know, eight upperclassmen, probably nine, potentially 10 upperclassmen.
Yeah.
How can you go into a season and have 10 upperclassmen, 9, 8 at the minimum, when they're Andre Hollins and Austin Hollins, and not at least think, you know, with the fans thinking postseason. Austin Hollins is in senior year.
Yeah.
I think it would be absolute, what's the word, not disgrace, but it would absolutely be terrible if Austin Hollins, who's given so much to the University of Minnesota, who's improved so much. Think of Austin Hollins. He was not a top 150 guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some random service man thrown in there, but the majority of the legitimate services did not have him ever as a top 150 guy. He's came in here, Bill, in the Big Ten's best defenders. He came in and improved offensively every single year. Now he's a guy we count on to make shots, you know, somewhat at a consistent range or at a consistent level. Like, how can we just skip past it this year's a senior year? I think Austin Hollins is a lot to it. So, and I don't think the Gophers are. There may be a little bit of lip service trying to downplay things a little bit because of the transition.
Mm-hmm.
But and when it comes down to it, when you have Andre and Austin Hollins, I just got to believe there's going to be some type of run in there.
Right. No, You might be onto something. You know, it could be the lip service and trying to lower expectations, a la you know how Jerry Kill does in football. You know, every single time he talks. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. So let's transition now and just talk a little bit about the EYBL, which will be in town again. If you didn't get a chance to see it last year, you have four opportunities to go this year because it is four basketball packed days. So so Ryan, I put together a little bit of a list of guys that the Gophers have identified, and you know maybe some are more of a pipe dream than others, but Isaiah Whitehead from the New Jersey, is it the New Jersey Players? I don't know how
Players. Come yeah. on, you got there. Players.
Yeah, I gotta get the accent.
Come on, let me hear you say players. Say it.
I can't do it. That's terrible.
Yep, Lamont. Hey, the world wants to hear Luke Buehr say players.
That's not. This is really not going to happen.
Oh, really?
Okay, so he'll play. I think the best one of the best games you could see is when he goes up against Rashad Vaughn and Sandy Cohen of Playground Elite from Wisconsin. So, and that's a Sunday game at 5 p.m. Who else? Well, obviously there's Howard Pulley with Tyus Jones, Reed Travis, Jarvis Johnson. You know, all Gopher targets. Let me see. There's also the Mean Streeters with Tyler Ulis and Paul White. I'm not sure how actively they're recruiting Paul White, but I saw a tweet.
I think they're recruiting him fairly active.
Okay.
Patino's made his calls when he can, and they're getting after him. They're after Paul White pretty hard.
Okay. And then the only other recruit that I could really garner that the Gophers might be after that'll be there is this Abdul Malik Abu.
Yep.
And he's, you know, I don't know much about him other than he's like a 6'7" 4 man, right?
Yes, he is a 4 man. I'm going to tell you, I started previewing this. There's so many guys that I've broken my preview into four parts, going position by position.
Oh, nice.
The last 24 hours I've got through point guards and shooting guards. Let's start at point guard real quick. You know, obviously the one's Tyus. Tyus playing 5 games. Howard Pulley is facing weak EYBL week, okay? Not mm-hmm. weak competition overall. It's not like we're playing the worst team, you know, some junk kids. But in terms of the EYBL, they're playing two teams that are 7-6, which will be good games, and they're playing three teams that have been horrible all year. So all EYBL sessions. So we're not. And I look through the point guards that they're playing against. There's no stud point guards that he will be facing.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, which is too bad, but you know there's a couple of decent players. The basketball travelers out of Kentucky have a mid-major guy who saw. I think his name was McCormick. But you got to get there early to see Pulley. It's a big event for them. I mean, they need to win a few games just to guarantee their spot in the Peach Jam. The next, you know, and also they have Jarvis Johnson. Let's not forget about Jarvis, who makes this a TGB exclusive. I've got pretty good sources that have said that Jarvis Johnson is a guy who's, you know, he's pretty close to his family after his tragedy a couple of years ago. And Minnesota's sitting really well with him right now. At Ben Johnson, who's been in D-List around D-List now as a grad and as a coach in the past. You know, he's close to his family.
Mm-hmm.
I know his sister's at Iowa State, but she's older. And that's also known the fact that Minnesota never offered his sister. So, you know what? Don't be surprised. If Jarvis, I would say, if I had a tick right now, I'd say Jarvis is going to be open in the future. But long ways away on that recruitment. You also have Tyler Ulis. Tyler Ulis, I haven't seen him play live. Can't wait to see him play live. He's been ridiculous. Tom Izzo has offered him. And that's huge. Because if you look who Michigan State offered as point guards in 2014 class, there's only one other name.
Tyus Jones. Yep.
And now they've offered Tyler. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, they think highly of Tyler Ulis. The Gophers are going after him. Tyler Ulis is the type of guy who would be outstanding getting up and down and up and down the system. Watch him for Mean Streaks because he plays with Paul White. There's a few other guys. We don't have all day to talk about all of them, but there's a few other guys. New Kirk kid. who plays on New York with Team Scan. You know, that's a team that they've been watched by, oh my gosh, Kamani Young. And there's a kid, Naren, his first name, Rouse Naren. He's a place from Mokian. Those are point guards to keep your eye on. Shooting guards, obviously Rashad. He plays with Sandy Cohen. Sandy, Rashad, and Playground Elite are the team you really want to follow, not just because of those. Our Minnesota, Rashad's a local five-star kid, and because they're him and Sandy are Gopher recruits, but also they play some of the best talent in this event in their five games.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's CP3 is one of their opponents. Team Penny is one of their opponents. One of the Texas teams is one of their opponents.
Yep.
Isaiah Whitehead is the final one I was going to throw in there. Isaiah Whitehead and Rashad and Sandy going at it. Isaiah Whitehead is a 2015 teammate who's a superstar. His name is escaping me right now, but he has a superstar teammate. Get out and watch him play. You know, you can grab a game of Rashad, and most likely you're going to see some four- or five-star superstar against them.
Sure.
Their schedule game this weekend is outstanding.
So I do have a couple questions for you before we have to, you know, kind of quit this up. But isn't it a closed recruiting period? So there won't be any coaches, right?
There won't be any coaches. Not only is it closed, like they can't have D1 coaches can't have contact with any of the kids until Sunday. So I know a lot of Gopher fans are wondering, are these players going to go up to the University of Minnesota? There's a time frame. That's just Sunday. Like there's a certain time on Sunday where they can't even contact guys still. That's why the visits this weekend of Nikosi Ali and Derek Randall, those visits can't start till a certain time on Sunday. So there's a lot of recruits up here that the Gophers obviously can't watch them because it's not an open period, and they can't have them on campus, I don't believe, either.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's some kind of a closed period. So I'm not exactly sure on the rules. Maybe guys can go on officials down there, but I don't know. Like, I was told that, you know, a lot of, because it's a closed period, that even the official visits can't start until Sunday. So these guys can't go there. Maybe these guys can trip over there Sunday or Monday on unofficials, which is possible. But a lot of these teams are leaving Monday afternoon or Sunday night.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to work out too much in the Gophers' favor to get to them unless they, you know, unless there's some rules or some ways they can do this that I don't know about. Because again, I'm not superstar rule guy. I don't have time for that. I'm a teacher. I'm a father.
Right.
I'm a writer. I'm a coach. I have a lot of other things to do than memorize rules for my role five-figure job.
All right. So, and then another thing. Last year, if you're a fan, I think it was $10 to get in. Pretty reasonably priced. The seating was awful, and part of that was because they have to separate the D1 coaches and the fans. So there's a barrier of entry. You can't get to those guys. Now that this is a closed period, will there be extra seating? Do you know?
Well, it's still okay. Here's the difference that you're going to have. You can't in that gym. You obviously don't have the one side of the court because that's where the players are sitting.
Yeah.
So you take one out. You have the other side is a wall. Let's take the long way.
Mm-hmm.
You have one side that's off, and then you can't sit against the wall there because there's no one other wall. You come in the gym, there's no space. So half the court is basically off limits unless you have one row of guys. You have seating on, you know, three rows of seating on the other long way, on the other long sideline.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit there, and now this time, it'll be different. Last time the college coach was there, this time you can sit on the one baseline. Also, there was more, you know, you also have the seating behind that south baseline.
Yeah.
That you can kind of stand in the background. But again, like for a populated game, there's just, you have three rows on one baseline and one sideline, and that's it. So if you want to get to a game, get there to the game early, and why not get there? If you like basketball, get there to the game before.
Yes.
And here's my advice. I don't know what they're doing for programs. I'm imagining they're trying to sell that little thing. If you're going to watch three games, just print their rosters off online.
Mm-hmm.
UIBL has all their rosters off online to print off with numbers and everything. It's well done. You can even print off their stats. You know, do that, and then you don't have to worry about paying for a program.
Yeah. So my suggestion, having gone last year, would be if you really want to see, you know, a Minnesota kid, so if you want to see Howard Pulley or you want to see Rashad Vaughn, you're going to want to get there at least a game early and watch that game, you know, beforehand. and so you have a seat and then stick around for the next one, because it was absolutely packed for Howard Pulley last year at any game they played. You weren't going to get a seat unless you're there at least a game early. But in the same sense, if you don't get there in time, you know, to get a seat for Howard Pulley or Wisconsin Playground Elite or whatever their name is, I can't keep them all straight. There are phenomenal games all around. Last year, we got to watch the Texas Titans with Julius Randle, and like nobody was watching, and he was phenomenal. So just walk around, find a game. There's tons of good players. You can always find a good game. I mean, you know, certain Minnesota people have very specific people they want to watch, but you're going to be able to find a good game with some good players.
Well, and you also have Macaroon Fire up here with Okafor.
Yeah.
And the other guy's name is Cliff Alexander. Is that right? Cliff Thompson. The other stud they have.
Yeah, I don't know.
Macaroon Fire has some studs. Watch Emmanuel Mudiay. I'm not sure if I said that right. Emmanuel Mudiay. He's here from a ton of the Texas team. He's the other guy. There's two point guards in this country. Tyus Jones and Emmanuel Mudiay. Okay? So
yep.
I think one or two services have Emmanuel over Tyus, or they used to. So he's worth a watch, too. There's studs everywhere. But the thing is, though, to kind of counter the attendance, this is Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah,
and
true.
We do live in Minnesota. There's a lot of people who are going to cabins and doing family things. So you're going to get a chunk. There's going to be a chunk taken out of that normal crowd that was there the last time for this one because of that. And there's also the draw that last week, last time when they were here, there was also the last year, also the draw of the college coaches.
Yeah.
You can't go sit next to Coach. You can't go look at Coach K from 5 feet away. You can't go look at Tom Izzo from 3 feet away or Tom Crean in the corner snickering, you know, from 8 feet away. That's going to take another small percentage out. So just, and it's 4 days.
Yep.
That's another thing that's going to take a percentage. The last time it was a 48-hour period, Friday night, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning. This is all day Saturday, all day Sunday, Friday night, and Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of time to spread out to watch games. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of time to watch these kids play. Now, most people are insane like me. I'm going to be there Friday night, all day Saturday, until I get to the MSG concert on Sunday night, Saturday night. I have my two fingers in the air and I'm rocking.
Nice.
And then all day Sunday and then Monday morning. I'll be there the whole time except for the MSG concert. So it'll be good.
Okay, so I have two games, and this is purely based on record, that I suggest. So Sunday at 12:30, Court 1, Houston Hoops versus Team Takeover. Houston Hoops is, let's see, they're like 12-1, and Team Takeover is 13-0. So that has to be a good game. And then Monday morning, 9 a.m., Court 2, Team Takeover against Expression Elite. Expression Elite's like 11-2. They're the same team that has the Abdul Malik Abu, the guy the Gophers are going after. So if you want to see some big games, those are the two that kind of stuck out to me. And the last one that really stuck out to me, you know, if you want to see Isaiah Whitehead and Rashad Vaughn go at it, they play Sunday at 5 p.m. And I don't remember the court. I didn't write it down. So,
and look for the two Pulley games against the 7 and 6 teams. One of them is basketball travelers. The other one may have been all Ohio Red.
Yeah,
is that right?
It's all Ohio Red, yeah.
Those are games that you'd want to see for Pulley. So, and I got to run through some quick guys. I haven't got to all the guys yet. I mean, Paul White from Mean Streets. Don't forget the Chinook. Bonero Chinook, whatever, from CIA Bounce, the Canadian guy.
Okay.
He's the guy that's going to go for someone you're going to want to see. The big fella from Baltimore, Boo Williams. Name is escaping me, so I don't have all the names in front of me now. I'm in my garage.
Are they still recruiting that guy that's name was like Good Luck or something? Because I don't know if
he's... I haven't heard his name pop up, but he would be on. He's been on Boston BABC in the past.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's another one to look at. I mean, there's just a lot of names.
He has a great name.
There's, you know, if you want to see Okafor, you got him there. And there, you know, I'm missing a couple. Oh, Terry Lanier. I can't remember that offhand either. He's a guy that the Gophers offered early and they really like. He's going to be up here. So there's a lot of players.
Yeah.
He's on Team Scan. Team Scan also has a huge 6'10", 6'11" guy that Siak Diallo, I believe his name is.
Mm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
These names or something. That Kamani Young has watched. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent. And, like, if he, I mean, I don't need to plug the site too much, but yeah, Gopher Illustrator. I've got this point guard for you, you know, the names of the point guards for you to see, got the names of the shooting guards to see, tomorrow the names of the small forwards will be up by mid-morning at the latest, and the names of the front court guys will be up at the latest on Friday morning. So everything you need, I got the schedules on there, their stats, the game to see from them. You got everything you need there to see for this EYBL. And like I said, get there early. Print your rosters off online. Just go to Google EYBL. It takes you right where you need to see. Navigate the site. Get your stats. Get your rosters. Print them off. Good to go that way.
Right. All right. So for Taco for Buckets, I'm Luke Buehr.
And I'm Ryan James.